I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Director Minerva Navasca's newest film explores the traditional Filipino way of eating, called kamayan. The Tagalog word translates to hands in English, and it emphasizes using only hands to eat during a meal. In the film, Minerva shows her father using kamayan to eat his meal. Various meats, spring rolls, and rice are placed on banana leaves on the dining table. A common term for this type of feast is called a budol fight. The feast is overlapped with an outdated film reel of perceived Western etiquette and how to eat during meals as a contrast. As her father's meal continues, so does the lessons of the old film reel. As part of the Regent Park Film Festival's Faces of Resistance series, the film works to recapture both identity and pride in Filipino culture through kamayan. Today, Minerva Navasca discusses the creative process of the film, its inclusion in the Regent Park Film Festival, and the importance of uplifting Filipino stories to wider audiences.
My name is Minerva Navasca. I'm a third-year film student at Sheridan College, and I am the director, producer, filmmaker behind kamayan. So kamayan kind of started as a little project just in class at the end of my second year. Sorry, the first semester of my second year. And we were tasked to create a documentary. And being in the middle of the pandemic, I knew that I didn't have a lot of resources, so I couldn't really take all the time to go out and shoot with a big crew. So I kind of diverted towards figuring out what story lies right in front of me. And a lot of that came from my family. And I remember a while back when my cousins told me the story of how she went to school with a lunch, but her mom forgot to pack her utensils. And so she just skipped the entirety of lunch and came back home not having eaten anything. And this was in the Philippines, where eating with your hands is totally acceptable. But even so, she felt pressured from her peers to not act in a way that didn't conform to Western traditions. And even being an immigrant in the Philippines, I trace a lot of my insecurities as not fitting into what America views as ideal. And so I think making a documentary showcasing the traditional way that Filipinos eat with their hands and kind of reclaiming that dignity behind that helped me reclaim a part of my heritage that I've always been super ashamed of. I think I was always kind of dead set on making a documentary about, sorry, showcasing the idea of eating with your hands. And I knew I always wanted to play like a little spin on it. And that's where the archival portion of the documentary came in, taking all of these old-fashioned, outdated footage of Americans kind of dictating the proper, air quotes, the right way to eat, and using that kind of as a satirical lens. I think that was the most I wanted to kind of stretch the concept.
Mm-hmm. And it's pretty interesting with that, I guess, perceived sense of like Western etiquette you wanted to contrast there. How did you come up with like this footage? Like, where did you get it?
I don't remember exactly what site I used, but I remember just looking up like old etiquette videos from the 1950s. And a lot of the work that went into the editing of kamayan was filtering down what exactly I wanted to use and narrowing down which which formalities kind of were necessary and what weren't.
Minerva describes the need for authenticity in the doc and in her work overall. This meant on concentrating on expressing her own voice in her work. For Kumayon, it was about her transition period between living in the Philippines and trying to find a place in North American culture.
I found that I always approach a story or a project by going like, how can I make this most authentic and most honestly me? I try to really capture what my voice is in that particular project. And I find that in a lot of cases, when I get into my own head, I start going, is this the right way to do something? Or is this the right thing to say? And then it becomes this like frustrating overload of a loop that just keeps going on and on. And this also ties into, again, the shame that I felt growing up in the Philippines and feeling like as I immigrated in my transition to Canadian culture, just overcompensating because I felt like I didn't really fit in. And so I think that was where I got the idea to portray the climax in that manner of this just overwhelming insecurity. I think that's just what felt most natural to me. And thank God it served the film as well.
Mm-hmm. I guess for these like parts especially,
it's my dad.
It's your dad, your dad's yeah. Okay, I didn't know. So for the filming part of it, like, how can you, I guess, like, give me a general idea? Like, how did everything go when you were doing this? Was this like in the house? Was this somewhere else?
Yeah. So it was in the middle of a pandemic, and it was me and my dad, and my mom. It was just us. And it was actually surprisingly really fun because what ended up happening is I just ended up ordering some takeout. I think it was the meat skewers and pancit and the spring rolls with the dipping sauces, but everything else, like all of the rice and all of the fruits and the mussels even, that was something that me and my dad prepared. And so we laid it out as best as we can in a kind of like, oh my God, what's it called? It's a boodle fight,
yeah.
With all of the leaves and everything. And I remember my mom just being on the sidelines and taking like a gazillion pictures going like, what is my daughter doing? How is she messing up my entire kitchen and my dining room? But it was just me filming. And I told my dad like what I had in mind beforehand. And he was actually super comfortable in front of the camera, which was a surprise because he's a pretty timid person. But I turned on the camera and I was basically like, I'm just going to film you, go right ahead, and then gestured towards the table full of food. And then he just did what he did. Mm-hmm. And then it was pretty simple from that.
Yeah. Cause like when I was watching, like, wow, I was kind of just thinking like, it's so precise. A lot of the movements, or like how many takes did this one take, or the part where he bites the lumpia.
Yeah.
Like that part, especially for me, I know like that was part of like the climax part, but how did you come up with that idea?
Well, it was basically just like one long continuous take. I didn't ask him to redo any of his movements. Maybe once, like his first entrance, just to make sure that everything was like perfectly centered when he walked in. But other than that, it was like, you go right ahead and then I'll make of it what I capture. But I knew when he bit into that lumpia, the first time that I like watched it in real life, and I had already kind of envisioned the climax being that overlapping sequence that we talked about earlier. I knew just because of how sharp and crisp that bite sounded, it was the perfect way to end off all of that like feedback, because I was thinking it would be this like sequence of anxiety, 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 pointless questions, and then he would just bite into it, and then it would be an answer as to say, why would you think about all of that? Just enjoy the food. just silencing it almost.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm just going to ask this now because your dad is the star of the movie, but I guess him and your mom as well, who was there, what were like their first reactions to your film?
They said it was too short. they're like, all of that? Because we filmed for about like an hour. And they knew I was working on it for a long time, like a couple of months. And I think they were expecting more. But yeah, that was their first reactions. They were just like, oh, okay. But they get really happy whenever I mention that it goes into festivals. So yeah.
For you, what you've mentioned, like it's going into festivals, it's been in previous ones. What does it mean for you right now that it's in the Regent Park Film Festival?
Oh my God, it's been a dream. My first ever job that I got was being a journalist / content creator in Regent Park Focus. So I literally, my dad and I went to the outdoor screening yesterday. And it was just so surreal because I kept on going to him. Like I worked literally like a block or so, like away from here. And as an interviewer for this little radio show called Catch the Flavor in 2019, I remember interviewing one of the team members at Regent Park Festival. And ever since then, I've just been a massive fan of the festival itself and how it's so community oriented and how it's always been so focused in showcasing diverse stories from communities that are so often just brushed aside because people just decide that there's better stories to like, that's more worth their time. I don't know. But I have been a fan of it ever since I was 17, and having my work be part of the festival now, it's so gratifying. I like squealed when I realized that I got it. It was so weird.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. And that's an important part I like to ask you about, is you mentioned like these stories that for some reason don't get the same attention or mm-hmm. they're from underrepresented communities. I guess for you, what does it mean to have these Filipino stories, I guess, enter more into the mainstream of North American media?
I'm really proud of it. I think I don't realize it as much when my own films get into festivals because I'm kind of overshadowed by the idea of like, oh my God, it's just a small little film. Why would you care? But when I see other pieces of work, or whether that be films or just any type of media that are also created by Filipinos, I just feel like an enormous sense of pride. And I don't know, I've never, like even in the Philippines when I was growing up, I never really saw a lot of actors that looked like me. Like, even though it was set in the Philippines and then set in these kind of economic lifestyles that I identified with, a lot of the actors were lighter skin or spoke perfect English, and that didn't entirely resonate with me at that time. So the fact that we're in Canada seeing all of these stories that expand the idea of what it means to be Filipino and not only adhering to this perfect American fantasy that we've been fed throughout our entire life, that's super gratifying to me.
Mm-hmm. And I guess yours especially, with your work with Kamayan, it's something that I guess there's that cliche that it is a bit more popular now in Toronto because there are those restaurants. But it doesn't really go more into, I guess, the cultural importance or like significance that yours goes into.
Yeah, I'm really proud to be showcasing like a very small slice of life and portraying domestic Filipino family or just Filipino everyday life as it is. And I love that. I love that I don't have to like glam it up just for it to be relevant.
For the people who are watching your film, what do you hope they take from it?
For Filipinos watching this, I hope that this offers a sense of validity to their own experiences. Because we see a lot of, even in a lot of movies that are diverse that are coming out, it's all kind of grouped towards Asian representation. And I remember going to watch Shang-Chi with my dad, and he was super excited about it. And like watching TV shows like Kim's Convenience, those are ways that we bond over just seeing ourselves represented on screen as Asians and as minorities, but it still, there still feels like there's a lack. And so I guess if there are any Filipinos who watch this, I hope it sends the message that your experiences are just as special and just as unique and are just as worthy to be seen as any other story that you see on screen or on your TV or anything that you listen to. And to non-Filipinos who watch this, thank you for taking the time to support this little film. Even if you don't entirely identify with it, thank you for giving it a chance. I do want to say that, like, please eat with your hands if you're a Filipino or you've immigrated or you just feel like, I don't know, like insecure about it. My parents and my family make fun of me during Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas dinners, or like whenever we eat just chicken together, because I don't know, there's a technique where you scoop rice with the front of your hand and then like spoon it gently into your mouth without like anyone noticing, without rice falling everywhere. And I can't do that now because I spent so much of my childhood just like repressing that tradition. So like, it's so funny how we can let go of something so meaningful to us as a community just because of that fear of not being accepted. It's so stupid. There's so many things that I've let go of because I was insecure. And I hope that creating this film will help fight that insecurity. I also want to shout out my dad and my mom, who, even though they don't always like express it outright, have always been my biggest cheerleaders.
Kamayan is part of the Faces of Resistance series for the Regent Park Film Festival, running until December 2nd this year. Minerva's next work is Guardians, which depicts how a girl's experience of a mundane walk home at night becomes distorted into something terrifying simply because of her sex, according to the film's website. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.